Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. Glad to have you. Thanks for being here. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm excited to be moderating today's discussion on a view from the other side, economic relief applicants sharing their stories. The economic relief packages being offered by the federal government can be a critical lifeline to companies that need financial help to stay afloat. But the economic injury disaster loan and the payment protection program are not necessarily as straightforward and easy to navigate as a walk in the park. Today, we've got a handful of executives with us who are going to share their experiences about the application process and what they have learned while also helping foster a group discussion to help anybody in the industry understand the resources that are available to them and provide assistance to obtaining this much needed financial relief. I guess I wrote that before it was announced today that they ran out of money, but hopefully more will be made available. I want to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars and discussions like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the ARM industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use and is an excellent resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a couple minutes every day checking out what it's got to offer. Now, let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Dennis Barton is the owner of the Barton Law Group in St. Louis, Missouri, which specializes in collection and defense services for members of the ARM industry. His firm represents collection agencies and creditors filing collection lawsuits in the states of Missouri and Illinois, and also provides letter review services, consulting on compliance best practices, and defense agencies against consumer lawsuits nationwide.
Hello.
Hey, Dennis. Thanks. Jeff DiMaggio is a founder and partner of American Profit Recovery, with locations in Massachusetts and Michigan. Jeff is a longtime industry advocate, currently serving as president of the New England Collectors Association and chairman of ACA International's Unit and State Affairs Committee. Jeff is actively engaged in state and federal legislation lobbying while promoting financial literacy and debt collections done right. Jeff's been an expert guest on Fox News and other media outlets over the years and has shared his experiences with other agencies about how to proactively use social media and other PR tools to promote the positive aspects of the collections industry. Thanks for being here today, Jeff. Tom Good is the managing attorney at the law firm of Barron & Neuberger. Prior to joining the firm in 2014, he spent a decade as general counsel at two of the largest participants in the industry, Square 2 Financial and Asset Acceptance Capital. For both companies, he directed all legal affairs, negotiated both debt and equity financing, and made legal decisions for the client relating to compliance and regulatory matters. Jack Gordon is the CEO of WebRecon, which protects creditors, collection agencies, and call centers from lawsuit-happy consumers. A former agency owner himself, Jack has been involved in the collections industry for nearly two decades. Actively involved in both the Michigan chapter of ACA International and the National Association, Jack's insights and professionalism stand out among the most respected members of the industry. Mary Shores is the president and CEO of Midstate Collection Solutions, a collection agency based in Champaign, Illinois. Mary has been the CEO of the agency for nearly two decades, and that experience has made her a sought-after speaker and author. Her book, Conscious Communications, which was published and is rising to the top of the bestseller list on Amazon.com, aims to help people harness the power of words to change their minds, their choices, and their lives. The format for today's webinar will be an interactive discussion. I'm going to ask these five speakers to share their experiences in applying for loans and economic relief being offered by the federal government to help companies dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. If you have a story or experience or question, we definitely want to hear it from you. You can participate by entering your comments or questions into the chat box, the Q&A tab on your Zoom webinar control panel, or you can click the button in Zoom to raise your hand and I'll unmute your line and give you the chance to address our audience directly. This event is being recorded and recording will be made available in the coming days on accountsrecovery.net. With that, let's start talking to our panelists about their experiences. And, you know, I'm going to do this a democratic way and we'll go alphabetically by last name. So Dennis, that means you get to go first.
Okay. Well, so generally speaking, I applied for both the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, the EIDL, as well as the Payroll Protection Plan. The Payroll Protection Plan pretty straightforward. I applied, I think it was last Thursday, and today, right after this meeting, I actually will have a discussion with my banker. They get with me within 5 days. They called today, and to 3 o'clock Central was my meeting with them. You know, I put together a payroll, and actually the payroll records were pretty easy. I used ADP, so I called ADP and I asked them, I need records. What are you doing for the PPP loans? And they have a whole spreadsheet set up just for this. So if you use ADP, and I'm sure, you know, the other big payroll companies are doing that. Well, they have their own spreadsheet. It's already set up. You don't have to do any work, and it's all right there. Then I had to get together, you know, because I also want to incorporate the healthcare portion, you know, costs that we pay. So I got those records, got all that together, sent it to the bank, no problem. The EIDL, though, that was a thing. I jumped right on that as soon as it was the day that I think it was Friday, March 20th, Missouri qualified. I think all states qualified on that. And as of that Monday, I sent in my first application. But the problem is that the law was made so quickly and thrown at the SBA so quickly that the SBA had no infrastructure. And their plans changed, and they kept changing the format of the application and the method of the application. And between the time I first did it, which was their first method, they had gone to a more streamlined version. They told me to ditch the first one and then reapply. So I did that. And on March 29th, I reapplied. I hadn't heard anything from them, so I was getting a little worried. And I had called many times throughout. Calling the SBA for information on loans is a lot like looking at Facebook for medical advice. You get all kinds of misinformation and wrong answers from people who are just thrown into these call centers with very little training, and different people will say different things. And so that part was hard. But to make a longer story short, to give you the quick and dirty, is that today I finally reached a supervisor who confirmed that my loan is in place. It was received. My credit was checked, and I ought to be hearing from a loan officer in a few days. So far so good with me, but it was a long way to get there because I had to apply 3 different times because they kept changing things.
Well, I'm glad your persistence has paid off. Thanks. We'll definitely circle back with some questions in a few minutes. Tom, why don't you share your experience with us?
Yeah. I initially looked at the EIPL, and I saw the structure and the needs for collateral and guarantees, and I moved on. Our firm has granted somebody a first lien in all assets, and it didn't seem like it was going to work for us. So we focused almost from the get-go on the PPP program. And actually, I made my first call to my banker 15 minutes after the CARES Act passed. I think I was the first person she talked to. Mm-hmm. And, really, it was a relatively painless process for us. The biggest issue with us is we use Insperity for our payroll. And because we were fairly early in the process, they didn't have their spreadsheets in the right format yet. And then the day they got that, the spreadsheets in the right format, their website crashed. And so I was pulling my hair out in clumps because I knew I qualified, but I couldn't get the information to the bank. But we got that resolved, the loan's in. As a matter of fact, we've had the first draw taken out of it for payroll. And, all in all, wasn't that hard for us. But we really had to be on top of things. We had to have the right reporting. We had to have a strong relationship with our banker, who put up with my constant nagging. Oh. And so look at, you know, it's as smooth as anything in a government program where you're trying to dish out $390 million in a very short period of time. At least that's been my experience. Now I understand. It's funny because after I called my primary banker, I called the banker I have my trust accounts with, and I never did get a call back from that person. And it's just a matter of bankers are prioritizing who they respond to and who they don't. But that's my experience.
Excellent. Glad it seems to be going went so well for you. Jack, you're up.
Actually, you skipped Jeff. DiMatteo comes.
Oh, you're right. Alphabetically, and I absolutely.
I thought D was before G.
No, this is why I'm the writer in the group, because I know the alphabet better than everybody.
Yeah, I would love to hear Jeff's story.
Yes, Jeff, absolutely. I apologize for skipping you. I'm so sorry.
No problem, Mike. We too focused on the PPP loan. At first, when we were kind of thinking about applying for a loan, we said, well, you know, are we really going to need a loan right now? We're in good shape. We don't have any real large clients that are a huge percentage of our business, like maybe a hospital that's asking us to stop collections. So we felt comfortable that we were going to be able to continue. Then when the PPP loan came out, we were taking a look at it, and it said economic uncertainty. That's what it's for. And we said, yeah, that's what we're in right now. The state of Massachusetts just shut down our collections, which is about 10% of our business, and who knows what states are going to follow next. So once we decided, yep, we're going to go forward, I too found it fairly simple to apply. Unfortunately, I think because it's so simple, we have so many gray areas that we're going to need to figure out as we kind of go along. We went to our bank. I had called another one, and they said that they're really prioritizing for existing customers. So we did go to our bank. We applied last Wednesday, and we got our approval almost 7 days to the minute from when we applied. So it was approved yesterday. So we'll go ahead and move forward with it. A couple of it took us about a half a day or a day to actually file it because we were a little confused. We were getting contradictions on a couple of the requirements. The first one was, is it 12 months prior to the date of the loan, or is it 2019 payroll? So to get the monthly payroll, we couldn't get a solid answer on that. Then finally, our bank said, as long as your 2019 payroll numbers are going to be in line with what you've done the first 3 months of 2020, then go ahead and use 2019. So we did that. And then there was a couple of things that we didn't know whether should come out of those numbers or not. The withholding, the Medicare, Social Security, there were some questions on that. Our CPA firm was coming up with one answer and the bank was giving us another answer. But once we came up with a number, the application basically asked for two numbers, your monthly payroll and the number of employees you had. So we went ahead and hopefully all is well.
But you said you've been approved.
We have been approved as of yesterday. So I'm not sure what the timeline on that is. Maybe Dennis or Tom that have gotten the loans. What was the timeline on when you actually received the funds after approval?
Oh, I'm an attorney. They're going to take their time trusting me with any money. So no, I hope to talk to a loan officer with my EIDL in the next couple days, next few business days. And I'll talk to my bank today regarding the PPP, but I've not been approved formally yet.
Jeff, for me, it was 11 days.
11 days from approval or application?
11 days from the day that I applied till the day that the money showed up in my account, if that helps. And that was for PPP.
Yeah, that's roughly what I had also is, and you know, I had the advantage of applying the first day they would take applications, so I didn't have much of a backlog. But yeah, it was pretty quick, and I had the money when I needed it.
Jeff, you brought up an interesting point about whether it was whether it was the last 12 months or 2019, and that's a legitimate point of confusion because when the SBA came out with its interim rule like last week, when people were really rushing to get up their PPP loans in, it says last 12 months. It doesn't say 2019.
Right.
But like you said, they, I guess, are just – going to take 2019 because when I talk to ADP, they're like, no, I assure you this report's right. It's 2019. That's what they want. Okay. I mean, I'm sure they've had better conversations than I have, but if so, for anyone who's out there though, reading the rule and is worried that it's the rules, they want to make sure they're very compliant. And the rule says this and they don't want to do that. It's fine. Well, I mean, so far it's been fine. Right. Due 2019.
I'll jump in here. I have a You know, we're a vendor, and I have a relatively small team. There's five of us, and you know, when I was considering this, just like Jeff, you know, I thought long and hard. You know, is this something that I really need to do? You know, and it was that economic uncertainty provision in the application that really kind of made it a no-brainer, because I can say with absolute certainty and clarity that I am uncertain what's going to happen. Okay. So far, we've been very lucky. We've hardly lost anybody, maybe, you know, a fraction of a percent of our client base. You know, it's been almost completely not an issue yet, but it depends on how long this all goes. So we looked at that. I got my application in, the second day, the Saturday after, it was at the 4th of April. And it was confusing there. You know, there were still things that had not been clarified yet. We struggled a bit with, maybe this is just my brain, but I had a hell of a time trying to understand exactly what we could claim, in there, even though it does seem to be relatively clear in retrospect, going back and looking at it. I got hung up on the fact that we could only claim, you know, 2.5 months of payroll, but then we could pay other things with that, rent and insurance and things like that. So it took me a little while to really wrap my brain around that whole process, but I did, and we did, and I came up with a number was not right. Again, going back to the confusion, my bank, who I spoke with on the morning of the 3rd, gave me a lot of, they sent me on some wild goose chases. They gave me questions that were, ended up being completely irrelevant, but certain documentation that they wanted me to bring up and statements that they wanted me to write about, you know, projecting my income over the next, you know, none of that ended up being relevant at all, ultimately with the application. But I did get my application in on the 3rd. Interestingly, my merchant account company approached me at the same time and asked if I would be interested in going through them. And I said, sure, I'll consider it. And it took them, it's a big company, a name that everybody knows. And it took them a good 5 or 6 days to get back to me, even with the application, by which point I'd already submitted my application. I did not wait around for them to get it together. So I did go with my local bank, got the application in, like I said, on April 3rd. I was notified 2 days ago that it was approved and funded, but I don't have the money yet. I haven't seen it yet. But, you know, there was quite a bit of back and forth. We wanted to make sure, you know, they wanted to make sure that I was giving them good numbers. I'm not going into my office very often right now, so I had to give them numbers without backup, which I was very interested to see that was good. That was okay. We did end up funding the last 12 months rather than calendar year 2019, even though my payroll company was only able to provide me with a calendar year 2019 report. You know, we were able to just take the numbers from 2020 and you know, use that last 12-month period because it was more beneficial. And the last thing I'll throw out there was in the numbers that I gave them, they initially disqualified my retirement account payments to my employees as valid for including that application. And so I had to challenge them on that. And of course, you know, I was right, and they backed down on that quickly. So payroll, health insurance, retirement account contributions, all of that is absolutely valid, and anybody who hasn't done this yet and is considering that, you know, make sure you're including everything that you can, because, you know, presumably this will turn into a grant, or at least a forgivable loan, and there's no reason not to.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Jack. Mary, you share your story?
Yeah, I would love to. So I've had a relatively easy time. I have a small collection agency. We specialize in medical, and in Champaign, Illinois, I have 21 employees. And so when I was an early adopter to knowing full for sure that I was going to take any money the government was going to throw my way, so I took three of my team and had them start really diving into all the different opportunities with the stimulus, because my worry was that it was going to be so confusing that it would be hard to understand or hard to apply for, or that there would be a lot of loopholes. For example, I was very worried that if I applied for EIDL, would that make me exempt to be able to apply for PPP? Of course, that turned out to not be the case. You can't apply for both of them. So my experience was that I was already prepared. In fact, I'd had all these documents in a folder ready to go. And at the end of the day, I was asked for three things, which I have the email pulled up now. I was asked for 2019 Federal Form 940, which is the employer's annual federal unemployment tax return. I was asked for my 2019 corporate tax, if it was filed, which it was not, and also a 2019 P&L if the tax return wasn't filed. So technically, I only had to turn in two documents, my 940, my annual 940, and my 2019, just a printout of a P&L statement from QuickBooks. That is, and I also filled out the application, which took me all of 5 minutes. It was very easy to calculate the payroll. I was under the same assumption that Jack was. I took my total payroll expense and not, you know, including benefits and retirement and things. And I turned that in. There was no questions asked whatsoever. I didn't hear anything. And same as Jack, 2 days ago, I got an email saying my documents were ready to sign and I would have my money by 4 o'clock that day. And that was on the 14th. So it was 11 days, including weekend, from the day I applied, which was the 3rd, and the day that I received the deposit, which was the 14th. Quick and easy, no questions asked. They come back on the day that they made the deposit and just asked me for a printout of a report from my payroll from February. So, and that was the only variable.
Well, it sounds like we've got five success stories here, which is great, because I was reading today the program appears to be officially run out of money for anybody who hasn't already applied. And I just saw a news alert come across that said that the Senate is adjourned until next week without reaching a deal on adding any more money in. So there still is a chance that they might add more money into the program. But I guess if your application hasn't been approved yet, you might be on the sidelines for a little while waiting. So,
hey, Mike, I know that's true for the EIDL. Is that also true for the PPP loan?
I believe it is. Yes.
Okay. No new applications. I did read, and we had a question in the chat box, if the application was put in, but they hadn't received an approval. And I had read today that as long as the application was submitted, you got confirmation that it was submitted, they will continue to process those applications.
Yes, that's what I've read too. So if it's in, you're good. If it's not yet in, then you may be waiting for a little bit. So thank you to our panelists for sharing. I've got a few questions that have come in.
Mike, before you do that, can I share one more quick thing?
Absolutely.
Just because this is almost kind of funny, but I mentioned that they sent me on a wild goose chase in the beginning here. Hopefully, the banks are clear on this now. But while you were talking, I did just kind of bring up the three questions they asked me. 3 years of business tax returns they wanted. 4 month cash flow projection, which how on earth do you do that in this environment? And wage expense paid between February 15th and June 30th of last year. That those were the pre-qualifying questions that they did try to ask me in the beginning. And luckily, we kind of worked our way through that quickly, and I didn't have to try and figure that out. But go ahead now. I just thought people might get a kick out of that.
Some of these questions, I don't know if you're not able to answer it, that's fine. Some of the questions that have come in, I was told by my bank that there's no guarantee the loan will be forgiven. Have you heard anything along those lines? Has anybody heard anything or willing to share anything about what they've heard from their bank?
I have something on that. It's my understanding that, and Jack mentioned this, they've created a ratio that 25% of the total amount of the loan can be used for other things such as rent. I don't remember the other things, maybe rent, some other utilities, basic, yeah, basic expenses, but that you're going to have the other 75% needs to be protected for payroll. And the complexity for that is that we had some employees that weren't working that, without us knowing it, went and applied for unemployment. And so this caused a lot of confusion when we went to process payroll, because I had already promised the employees I was going to continue to pay them. But in a panic, they applied for unemployment. So we want to be very careful about not double dipping. I've thought long and hard about the concept of, if a portion of this has to be paid back, you know, I guess I'm happy to have borrowed money at 1%. Yeah. So I'm fully prepared that, let's just say, a certain percentage of it has to be paid back. I'm totally cool. In fact, I'd love to borrow money at 1% at any point.
Excellent. Thank you. Anybody else want to share or add anything on top of what Mary just said?
Just to add one thing, that now that companies are getting the money, you need to be aware of the timing of the output of that money. You have 8 weeks. My understanding, it's 8 weeks from the day you got the funding to spend this that will be forgiven. So if you can spend all of it within the parameters, 75% payroll, 25% other, you have 8 weeks to spend that. So for my company, we pay a lot of commissions once a month. So we'll have payroll twice a month. We have the commission on one of those payrolls. And so that's a much higher payroll one time a month. So we need to make sure that we're going to get two of those payrolls in there to be able to use up that money within the 8 weeks. So the 8 week timing is very important on it.
Jeff, I hadn't heard that. Do you know the source of that?
Everything I've read.
Okay, yeah, I'll look it up, because I did not know that.
That's in the SBA interim rule. You got to spend eight. It's three things you can spend it on: a payroll, utilities, and
rent.
And then you got to spend. I didn't remember the 75% on payroll, but I know those are the three things you spend money on. And actually, dovetailing on Jeff's comments, another important point is that not only do you have to spend this, but you have to document it very well. I suspect we're going to be in a time where the government may be looking for a reason not to waive that loan. And so if you don't have your ducks in a row and can show that you've put that money toward the three types of things we've talked about, that it may not be forgiven. You know, I would recommend actually a whole separate bank account that from which your payroll comes, and rent and utilities, just for the, you know, for a short amount, for that 8 week period, maybe may have to do, you know, some moving around from an accounting standpoint, but it's safer than just having a spreadsheet. I mean, money's fungible, and so it's hard to say what money's being really used for what, unless you put into a separate account.
If your software isn't able to identify into different buckets, we had talked about opening a separate bank account, and we did, just in case you want to use it. Mm-hmm. But our software is capable of being able to very firmly mark where this money is going, where it came from. So we feel fairly confident that we're going to be able to account for it. But if you have any questions about your accounting software at all, then a second account is definitely advisable.
I have a question in addition to what you guys were talking about with the using the funds within 8 weeks, that there was another law passed a couple of weeks prior to CARES Act. I don't remember what it was called, but it was the one that allowed 2 weeks, basically I'm calling it 2 weeks quarantine pay, and that you would go ahead and pay your payroll, and then you would be reimbursed through a reduction of your withholding tax. Mm-hmm. And so one of the questions that I have been wondering is there a way I can use the first 2 weeks payroll for my people who really have been quarantined, because our state is completely shut down? You have to be essential to even leave your house, basically. But can you use can you utilize that 2 weeks first and then use your PPP, or would that not make sense from what you guys know?
You know, one of the first things I told Mike is I am not going to claim to be an expert on this. I'll go through my experience.
I was so hoping.
I'm certainly not an expert. But I would think you want to make sure you're using that PPP money first so you get the biggest benefit. And the 8 weeks is forgiven what you use in 8 weeks. It doesn't necessarily mean that the rest of it can't go to the loan.
Thank you.
You know, and to kind of dovetail on what was said earlier, my bank insisted that I set up a separate account, And what I wound up doing is I wound up going to Insperity, our PEO, and I had them draw the payroll direct from that separate account. So there's never going to be, or hopefully there's never going to be any question that I've used the money only for payroll. And, you know, I've done back of the envelope calculation. I think I'll use it up if within the 8 weeks if I just stick with payroll. But at least that's an evidence trail I can point to.
And it's important that you went through the exercise, even if it's on the back of a napkin, to say, all right, this is how I'm going to use the money in 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of good motivation to, as you're calculating what you're going to ask for, not to find good creative ways to try and inflate that number either.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I got the EIDL because I don't just have payroll concerns. As a collection firm, we're filing cases, we're filing garnishments, and there's a lot of expenses that are there. We still have, I mean, Missouri and Illinois is where I collect. Illinois is stopping new garnishments, but we're still processing the existing ones. Mm-hmm. And while they're not really serving cases in Illinois, so we've stopped filing there. Missouri, we're filing, they're serving, and there's no live hearings, but some judges are now doing telehearings. So the point is that things are still moving in Missouri. So I still have all these expenses, and I don't have any clients that are telling me not to. I mean, all my clients is go, 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 like normal or as close to normal as possible. So I need money on top of paying payroll. I need all these legal expenses to get paid as well. So that's why I did the EIDL. And, you know, candidly, thankfully things are going well. And I don't know if I'm going to need it, but man, like we've all talked about, I don't know how long this thing goes on. And I'd rather have the money and not need it than need it and not have it.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing we haven't covered yet, and this is kind of another point of confusion early that did end up changing in the rules, is how you treat 1099 workers. Because I have one 1099 employee here, and I've been talking to a number of others, and for anybody who isn't aware, and lawyers, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you are not able to claim 1099 employees at all in this process. They are not eligible employees for any kind of PPP reimbursement to an employer because they have the opportunity to apply for their own PPP loan as of last Friday.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
We've got a couple of questions that have come in asking about how the additional 25% could be spent on utilities. People wondering if internet, phone, someone asking if a dialer counts as a utility. Anybody want to weigh in on those?
All good unknowns, I think.
Yeah. I mean, utilities is a pretty broad term, right? I think putting a dialer in there is really stretching it, but you know, the regular phone expense and any other kinds of anything that I think you can justifiably claim as a utility, they left it vague. I think that's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think they probably thought about light and heat and basic phone, but if you don't ask, you don't get, I guess, is the my thought on it. It certainly isn't clear.
I could just see a court case where, you know, to define what a utility, the legal definition of utility is going to be, is somewhere in the future.
Yeah.
Another question. I've heard that most who worked with big banks for the PPP had delays or a bad experience, while small regional banks were successful. Curious to each of you who are, you know, the five of you, big bank, small bank, you know, would you recommend working with that company again? What would you say?
I went through a somewhat big bank, and it moved slower. It didn't have its infrastructure set up. And I had friends who went through some small regional banks, and they had their money before my bank even had the application and things available for me to apply. Because I wanted to get out there right from the jump, but the bank wasn't in a position to do that. So just anecdotally, that's what people have been telling me. People who went through smaller regional banks got their money first and things went a lot smoother.
Similar experiences, Dennis.
I went through a smaller bank, a regional one here, and I have to say, even when they didn't know the right answers to my questions, the communication was excellent. They were very responsive, and I think I mentioned this earlier. I applied on the 4th. I got notified that I've been funded on the 14th, though I haven't actually seen the cash in my account yet. But it was honestly a very smooth and satisfying process.
Yeah, I used a small regional bank also. And I think the key or the takeaway that I have from it is, you know, I've spent a lot of time over the last few years taking the banker out to lunch and talking to them about our business. And then son of a gun, you know, when I really needed them, the phone calls got returned. And that made me quite pleased and was a very smooth process for me.
So we should bribe our bankers. That's the message I'm hearing.
That's excellent advice. Lesson.
Baron and Neuberger advice right there, folks.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I wasn't going to make a joke that it was a lawyer, you know, who couldn't pick between small and large and had to go in between. Another question, it's a good one. I don't know if anybody has the answer, but if a new employee is hired within the time frame that you're using the PPP, can you pay him or her with it? Or are those funds restricted to existing employees? Does anyone know the answer to that?
I do. I imagine it's payroll, but
No. My understanding is it does not have to be the same employees that you used in the period that you're comparing from last year. It just has to be the same number of employees or level of payroll. I'm not sure which of those it is.
So I was going to ask that question if you guys have any insight on it, because they specifically, the second number they asked for is the number of employees. So I'm wondering if you have to have the same amount of employees at the end of the loan, or how do they do that? You're thinking it might just be dollar amount, Jack, or number? Does anyone know?
I think it's number of employees that they're looking to make sure you maintain the same seats. And certainly I'm not moving to do anything different than that, because I want to maximize the chance I have of getting this thing forgiven.
I believe that's true. I believe that's right. Even though I just admitted, I don't actually know that for a fact, but my recollection on that is that it is the number of employees that needs to stay the same.
On the application, go ahead, Jeff. Yeah.
I was just going to say, if let's say you lose an employee or two, hiring someone new when everybody's working from home might be kind of difficult. How do you handle that? But like I said at the beginning, when they rushed this through, you knew there were going to be a lot of gray areas and good mm-hmm. questions. So
there were parts of the of the law that talked about employees in terms of full time, but when it asked for the number of employees, and I mean, payroll could count to a part-time employee. I mean, I have one part-time employee, and I put her as part of my total number of employees because it didn't specify, and I couldn't find anything in the SBA interim rule or anything online that talked about how that number of employees is defined and whether or not it includes part-time. So I included her. Have you guys heard anything like you only can include full time? Because I don't know, I haven't heard either way. Thanks.
I guess here comes another question. In the interest of making sure you a company uses all of the funds in the 8 weeks, can we give a bonus to employees if we have extra money up to that 75% to make sure it all gets used?
Can't say it didn't cross our minds, but if I'm thinking about. And one thing our CPA said is you want to go through this whole process ethically, right? You want to do the right thing and use it for the right reasons. So I think if you're doing that, then you're not going to have problems. If you're specifically top loading it with bonuses and you can't show that, well, that's really not what I was paying in the last 12 months, then I would imagine somewhere you may have problems. Again, not an attorney, not a CPA, but just an opinion.
Well,
and keeping in mind the 75%, 25% ratio, of course, and all of that too.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know anything in the law that doesn't allow you to do that. I've so
I haven't seen it yet, but I've been promised by my bank that there will be paperwork coming to account for how that money is being spent. And I imagine, the bank will be the first line of defense. And of course, the government will be the ultimate arbiter of this. But we're going to have to be able to justify and stand by the decisions that we are making right now.
Right. Well, and it goes back to something I mentioned earlier. I think because of the cash crunch, they may be looking at reasons not to forgive loans or and so the more suspicious your records look, the more trouble you may have later on when you're trying to get that, trying to get the forgiveness after you have the money.
Have they told, I think we may have talked about it, but have they told you specifically what you're going to have to do after the fact? You know, what documents you're going to have to submit, or when or where or to whom, or how that process is going to go?
In my case, just a promise that it was coming.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything on that, but once again, I'm trying to develop an internal paper trail to prove what I've done and make it as uncontroversial as possible.
Well, yeah, keep in mind, even with the EIDL loan, and I know more of a focus on the PPP, but even with the EIDL loan, I don't know how much is available. I point blank asked the SBA, what's the formula? We don't know. They don't tell us that. I don't know. At first there was a $10,000 you could get advance payment, and that would go against the $10,000 you could get on the PPP. But after that, there is no formula for the loan amount. There's no place on the application to ask for a loan amount. I was told at one point there's a blank page and you can write it in there, but at some point the format changed, you couldn't even do it then. So I only bring that up because it's just another example of how something that would seem to be obvious that you would have together before you had a program like this, they don't. They're still making it up as they go along.
Another question has come in. I'll ask that in a second. But first, I'm going to remind everybody, if you have a question or comment for any of our panel, we're getting close to the end of our time. So your last chance probably to type it in. Or you can click the raise your hand button on Zoom and I'll unmute your line and give you a chance to talk directly or ask your question directly if you want. The question, if you've applied for the PPP and got approved, but have not yet received the funds, can you use some of the funds when you get it to reimburse the company for payroll after the application was submitted? So that period in between when the application was submitted and when you get your money, can you use that to sort of cover back payroll?
My understanding is it's 8 weeks from the day you get the funds.
Okay.
My
understanding.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Tom, that's just my understanding that it's eight weeks from the day you get it.
That's my understanding too. And I'll be honest with you, using up the loan proceeds, that's the least of my problems. I think when you sit down and you figure out what you get and you've got 8 weeks to spend it, you're going to find very easy uses of it that fall within the three categories.
I have some language here in the email where I was notified that my application was successful. And that says, great news, your application was accepted. This means the application has been approved and money reserved. We are required by the SBA to close the loan document and fund it in the next 10 days. And that also starts the 8-week measurement period for loan forgiveness. So I interpret that as once the money is in my account, that starts the clock.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good point. I heard the same thing, that once they approve you, they have 10 days to fund it.
So then the funding starts the clock then on the 8 weeks.
Right. That also answers a question for a couple of people who have submitted questions wondering, they've applied, they've been approved, haven't gotten their money yet. And now that the program appears to be out of money, they were worried that that they might not get it. But it does look like, anybody who's been approved will receive their funds as far as I'm reading.
I think if our incredibly dysfunctional government is capable of coming together on one thing, it's going to be on putting more money into this in the next few weeks.
Yep. Just giving hope to all of us, Jack. Thank you.
That's why I'm here.
Another question. If we have an ETRAN number, what's next? I got an E-Tran on Friday, and I've been waiting since. It sounds like everybody else got their money much faster. Is that just a function of whatever bank this particular person is dealing with? Possibly.
Probably. Yeah.
Okay. Another question. What exactly is approved? Is this the same as being submitted to the SBA and receiving an E-Tran number, or is there another step?
I, like Jack, just got an email that said, you have been approved. Mm-hmm. You will get the final paperwork.
Okay. Question.
You know, the language in my note specifically says application has been approved and money reserved. So even though I haven't been funded yet, I'm led to believe that it's just a formality.
But that came after, that was a separate email you got after you got your
application. After the application was submitted and approved.
Right. Okay. A question for you, Dennis. Can you clarify more on the $10,000 advance, which is a grant and doesn't have to be paid back? You mentioned it goes against the PPP loan. Do you mean the PPP loan will be reduced by $10,000 if we were approved for the advance and PPP loan? Can we use the $10,000 advance for anything needed in the company, or does that go towards payroll, utilities, and loan?
I'm not sure if I misspoke or if it just wasn't very clear. I was talking about for the EIDL, you can ask for a $10,000 advance, and if you ask for it there, you can't ask for it on the PPP side. In fact, on the application for the PPP, it says 2.5 times payroll plus whatever you haven't gotten from your EIDL advance. So that's what I was trying to say. If I misspoke, I apologize. No, the $10,000, if you're just doing the PPP, that the $10,000 is, doesn't go against your, no, that doesn't go, it doesn't go against PPP amount.
I don't see any more questions in the queue, but before we wrap up today, what I'd like to do is go around the panel one more time. I know this has been a period, we've used the word uncertainty a lot, so there's been a period of uncertainty, anxiety, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on, now that all of you have gone through this process and it seems to, you know, everyone's got, you know, been approved and it's gotten their money, or it looks like they're going to get their money, how has that, you know, eased your anxiety or sort of affected your outlook in the light of what's gone on in the last month or so? I'm curious to sort of hear your reactions. And I'm going to see if I can do reverse alphabetical and not screw it up this time. Hmm. Mary, I think you're last in the alphabet, so you're going to go first this time.
Initially, I had a lot of concerns that because just the environment of uncertainty and not sure how the public was going to react with social distancing and with all of the early rulings of states that were limiting collection activity. Since that time, the attitude of the consumers has been pretty pleasant. And since, you know, my full-time job is collections, working with the consumers has been top of mind for me all the time. So far, it's going well. I have really zero concerns. Our largest client did tell us to cease operations, and so I've just been keeping in touch with them and that we're using with the consumers to hopefully ease their fears. But as they are also not getting complaints from people, that's been a plus. The bigger strain for us has been dealing with employee fears. So I don't know if anyone else has been experiencing that, but in a state that's shut down, when employees are unable to come to work, that part there has been the biggest struggle. I'm also hoping to apply for some more grant money if I can find it, but I really don't have a lot of concerns at this point.
Excellent. Good to hear. Jack, I think you're next.
So when this all started, I made a commitment to my employees that I would do everything I could to make sure that they all stay on the payroll right where they're at. And obviously their duties would be changing and most likely decreasing quite a bit. But, I had enough of a reserve to last a few payrolls before things got really grim. So from that perspective, being able to look out beyond just that few payroll cycles and have another couple of months of stability, was, a very big relief. Longer term, now listen, I'm a vendor to the collection industry, and the collection industry is going through a really challenging time right now, and it's hard to look out over the long term and see just how many of my clients are going to survive this, or how many are not going to survive it. And you know, that can have that could be a long-term setback for us if the number of clients that do cease operations out of this, you know, starts to snowball. That will be very concerning for me. It, like I said earlier, I'm very grateful that that really doesn't seem to have started yet. The longer this goes on, the harder that's going to be to maintain.
I'm just glad you haven't had to sell any of those books yet.
Never. But they may go in the fireplace.
Tom?
Yeah, the loan, you know, like Jack, I had made a commitment to my employees that, you know, as long as we can, you're with us. And even if you're locked down or under a stay-at-home order, the money's going to be coming in. The loan really took the pressure off. You know, right now I'm not thinking about April. I'm not really thinking about May because I've got the payroll funded for that. June I'm thinking about, but you know, anytime I can get a forgivable loan that lets me not worry for about 6 weeks or 8 weeks, that's a good thing. And that's the way I've been running it, is just knowing that I have these payrolls paid. I'm thinking about how am I going to meet my obligations in June, not in April or May. So it's all been good so far.
Excellent. Jeff, I'm not going to miss you this time.
Oh, it was certainly in unprecedented times. I think at the very beginning, it was a little overwhelming for everybody. My concerns went to a couple different areas. I mean, first of all, your staff and getting them home and keeping them safe. But they've been very appreciative of getting them home, letting them work, having a place to go to work every day. And I think they're seeing that the consumers, like Mary said, are very appreciative of what we're doing. Our compliments have skyrocketed. Our complaints have gone down. We get thank yous every single day. So that's great to see that consumers are still working with us out there. The other big area where the concerns were legislative matters. I had stated that the Massachusetts AG shut down the state of Massachusetts for collections. So that's where I'm located. So I'm just frightened if others try to follow suit. Seems like it's been a little bit stable the last couple days or this week. So hopefully that continues. But people got to realize that this industry, we wear the white hats. You know, we're the good people. We're putting money where it belongs. Get out there, tell your story. Hopefully these loans help us get through this tough time. But get out there and tell your story, whether it's on social media or to the regular media, or to your legislators. People need to know about our industry.
Well said, thank you. Dennis?
Well, like everybody else, I told my employees that a priority of mine was to not have anybody laid off, not cut hours, not cut pay. That was mid-March when we went, when I got back from Spring Forum, it seems like everything was kind of hitting the fan at that point. So that's when I decided that everybody would work remotely. That was before the stay-at-home order in our county and our state, but just for safety's sake and for the employees' comfort. But I also wanted, because they were all nervous, they're all scared, so I made sure that not only did I tell them and try to reassure them that I'm not going to fire anybody, and I don't plan to unless it gets really, really bad, but I also am keeping them up to date of what loans I'm getting and when, you know, what we've been approved for, and I wanted to know. I wanted to know that we've got some extra cash coming in potentially and hopefully, and anything I can do to make them feel safer, I want to do. And one thing I want to also mention is that there's another SBA program out there. It's called the Economic Bridge Loan. It's the EBL. It's for $25,000 and it's for people who couldn't get loans elsewhere. So it's for anybody who thinks they still wanted a little extra money and didn't do the EIDL and it's too late to apply, or the PPP to whatever, too late to apply, you might want to look at that. I haven't seen any publicity about that. I only know about it from the SBA website. And so that's something, you know, that may be a source of funding if your bank isn't loaning it to you and you can't go anywhere else. And although it's only $25,000, every little bit helps. And on a second, or to add to that, is on a local level, there's the St. Louis, what's it called? St. Louis Redevelopment Partnership has a $5,000 interest-free loan. For those of you not in the St. Louis area, that doesn't matter, but you may have comparable loans in your area. So don't forget to look at your local area and what loans may be available there too. And my overall thought, though, about getting the loan money is I got to exhale a little bit. I got to relax a little bit. Thank, you know, we had some money, you know, we're going to do okay, but having the extra money when these, if these loans come through, it's just going to make it that much easier to be confident with the employees for a longer term during our time of uncertainty.
Well said. I'll wrap up with a comment that just came in. Really glad to be amongst others who care about their employees. I've got an 18-year-old agency of 11 employees. I told them at the very beginning that as long as I'm taking a salary, they will get paid. I meant it. The PPP will make it all that much easier to keep my team employed and taking care of their families, which is, I think, something that everybody's doing, trying to do today. So we've run out of time. We've run out of questions. So it's awesome that that all happens at the same time. Dennis, Jack, Mary, Jeff, Tom, thank you so much. This was really great. I really appreciate you taking the time to walk us through your experience.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for participating. To the person who asked, a recording of this event will be posted, just like a recording of every webinar I do is posted to the webinar recordings page, how aptly named, on accountsrecovery.net. You can find it there probably by tomorrow. Stay tuned. Jack and I and Dennis, we've got Collector Live Home and Mary, Collector Live Home Edition coming next Tuesday. If you haven't signed up, go to collector.live, sign up for free. We're also taking donations for first responders and healthcare workers. We've raised, I think, $11,000 already so far that's going to be donated. So we're really excited about that. So definitely check that out. And we'll hope to see everybody back soon. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.